When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I got a Stone Cold. The Hellraiser is back.
Here we go. Evolution of the Shield.
John Cena versus the
Showstopper. Hulk Hogan and The Rock in the same ring.
You will never take my place at the head of the table.
Undertaker.
Oh my God!
What?
My God, Michaels just kicked Cena's head off.
The Monday Night Wars has come to WrestleMania.
It'll be The Rock. It'll be Austin one on one.
Third and final. The Undertaker.
Do you believe in miracles?
The streak is over.
Hey, what's going on, guys? And welcome back to Rivalries on the WWE podcast on this Friday, November 5th, as we are, what, just 2 weeks out from Survivor Series. And I believe Matt touched on it earlier in the week that they have really done a poor job building to Survivor Series. And to be honest, I think that's kind of just a product of the way that they've promoted the pay-per-view over the last several years or so as a glorified bragging rights. Easy enough for me to say, eh? But yeah, Survivor Series, once one of the more significant pay-per-views of the year, has now really just been dumbed down to a predetermined card in a lot of ways, because you know you'll get champion versus champion matches, whether that be tag team versus tag team, women versus women, Universal versus WWE, we know the drill there. And you'll get, I would say, usually 2 to 3 traditional, and I use that very loosely, 5-on-5 elimination matches. And it's really too bad, you know, because when I was growing up, I loved the traditional 5-on-5 matches at Survivor Series. I found them really cool, and they usually were highlighted and based around personal rivalries. Like, I've used Austin versus Bischoff for reference, or Guerrero versus Angle, or Angle versus Lesnar. I believe there was Team Triple H versus Team Randy Orton 1 year. Like, there have just been so many good programs and rivalries that were used in angles to build towards big matches at Survivor Series, and now it's almost kind of like an exhibition pay-per-view. And aside from that, you know, People forget the first ever Elimination Chamber was at Survivor Series in 2002. The first time the Big Show ever won a WWE Championship was at Survivor Series in 2000, I believe. You get The Undertaker, who was buried alive, and the last time we ever saw him was at Survivor Series 2003. Like, many things historically have transpired at Survivor Series that did not have to do with Raw versus SmackDown, and I think it's unfortunate that Survivor Series every single year is now just a predetermined Raw versus SmackDown type of pay-per-view. And I mean, I think that on a few times in the past it's been good. Like in 2005, the first ever time they ever went with a SmackDown versus Raw angle that culminated at Survivor Series, I thought it was very well done because it was the first of its kind, the inaugural version of that, and the entire card wasn't based around only Raw versus SmackDown. You had the one big match of 5-on-5, and then you had Bischoff versus Teddy Long, but aside from that, the rest of the card was based around independent storylines on Raw and SmackDown, respectively. Like, Kurt Angle versus John Cena was at that Survivor Series. Triple H versus Ric Flair, I believe, in a hardcore match was at that Survivor Series. So, I mean, that's my little rant to start off the show about kind of missing the old format to Survivor Series back in the day and whatnot. But that's not what we're going to talk about today. As usual, we're going to talk about a rivalry. And a rivalry I don't think gets talked about very often because it was so short and seemingly out of left field. And that is Randy Orton versus Brock Lesnar going back to the year of 2016. And 2016 was a very important year in when the WWE landscape was shifted, and probably shifted forever, as we really kind of transitioned out of the PG era into, I guess now, what you'd want to call the reality era. And I always remember them bringing back the brand split, and obviously I use that term very loosely because since 2016, there have been many instances where they break the rules of the brand split, whether that be the wild card rule or the quarterly invitational or whatnot. But that was the year that they really brought back the brand split and split the rosters down the middle again, a concept that had been dead for just about 5 years or so, I would say. Like, I believe by WrestleMania 27, the brand split was long gone, at least on a serious and adhere-to basis. And in came, you know, Shane McMahon as the commissioner of SmackDown, with the general manager being Daniel Bryan, and Stephanie McMahon running the show over on Monday Night Raw, with the general manager being Mick Foley. And Mick Foley actually had a forgotten and very underrated run as Raw GM in 2016, early 2017. So we go back to the initial draft picks, right? And Monday Night Raw selected a lot of the up-and-comers, where you had Roman Reigns go there, Seth Rollins go there, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Finn Balor, Enzo and Cass, who at the time were a very popular tag team, and Cass specifically, you could tell they had big plans for all the way back then. But along with all these up-and-coming guys, they drafted arguably the biggest star in the business at the time, Brock Lesnar. So Brock Lesnar goes over to Monday Night Raw, which was kind of expected since his return in 2012. I don't think he had stepped foot on SmackDown once. I could be wrong on that, but I'm fairly certain he was almost exclusive to Raw. Because what many people do forget is that when the brands are not separated, SmackDown just naturally becomes the B show. Whether you like it or not, when there's, you know, shows that feature the same superstars, one show will ultimately take a back seat. And whenever it happens with WWE, it is SmackDown, naturally, because of the lineage of Monday Night Raw. But we get Brock going to Monday Night Raw, and on SmackDown, you get a lot of the more established stars, like John Cena and Randy Orton and AJ Styles, although new to WWE. He was a very well-established star in the wrestling world, whether that be New Japan or Impact or whatnot. So you had a lot of a more veteran group over on SmackDown. That's not to say they didn't have up-and-comers of their own. Like, they had Dean Ambrose, and they had Bray Wyatt, and most of the Wyatt family, aside from Braun Strowman. But you always seem to have more of the veteran guys there on SmackDown, almost to, you know, give it legitimacy right off the bat. Even in the mid-card, you had guys like Dolph Ziggler and The Miz and whatnot. But right out of the gate here, during this brand split, where they send Orton to SmackDown, they send Brock to Raw, it's almost like they realize, like, hey, these are the two of the biggest stars we've had in the last 15 years, and they've never gone one-on-one with one another. And that's crazy to say, right? Because those two of the four big stars that came out of that famous and just largely respected OVW class in 2002, along with Brock Lesnar, along with Batista and John Cena, even a guy like Shelton Benjamin. But you saw for the first time them kind of show a visual of Randy Orton and Brock Lesnar, and right away you're just like, damn, this is going to be good. And you think back, or at least I started thinking back, of how had these two never crossed paths? And the number one reason is, ironically enough, the brand split. When these two showed up in 2002, they were kind of joining right off the hop during the brand split and during the birth of the Ruthless Aggression era, which kind of is synonymous with the initial brand split. And during Brock Lesnar's first turn go around with the company, he was exclusive to the SmackDown brand, aside from the first 4 or 5 months of him on the main roster. I believe it was in September of 2002 when Stephanie McMahon officially made him exclusive property of SmackDown. And aside from Orton's first couple months run on the SmackDown brand early on, he was almost always exclusive to Monday Night Raw, especially for the duration of Brock's first run with the company. He eventually made his way over to SmackDown in 2005 and was actually part of Team SmackDown in the Raw vs. SmackDown Survivor Series match at Survivor Series 2005. But for the majority and the entirety of Brock's run, Randy was on Monday Night Raw. So it made sense that they would never clash or come to blows at any point. But then when you look at Brock's return to the company in 2012, it was more of a testament to how far Randy had fallen at that point in his career. So Brock's first WrestleMania match, he goes toe-to-toe with Triple H in the no-holds-barred match at WrestleMania 29 in 2013. And Randy starts that show off in a six-man tag team match with the Big Show and Sheamus. So it really kind of told you where Randy was early on upon Brock's return. Then obviously Randy becomes the champion, kind of the corporate champion in a lot of ways. And Brock is enticed with a feud with The Undertaker during this point. So they were really kind of kept away from one another. Because then even after Randy Orton dropped the championship at WrestleMania 30 to Daniel Bryan, they kind of fast-tracked it over to Brock Lesnar, who held that championship upon Daniel Bryan relinquishing it, and then he absolutely obliterated John Cena at SummerSlam in 2014. And once again, right around this time is where Randy Orton slid back down into the mid-card, and he starts to have the program against the Authority, where he's kind of the double agent. It leads to a WrestleMania match between him and Seth Rollins, a very underrated match, probably the best RKO of all time while I'm talking about it. I'd really suggest people go watch that match at WrestleMania 31, and to be honest, just one of the better WrestleManias. Just an absolutely brilliant show they put on in 2015. Then you get to WrestleMania 32 in 2016, and you have Randy Orton, who's hurt, and he missed almost, I believe, the back half of 2015 and didn't come back until after WrestleMania 32 in 2016.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Which is how we get to this point. And, you know, they were looking for something different to do with Brock, because Brock Lesnar had had his lengthy run with the WWE Championship. He had broken the streak with The Undertaker and went on to have several more matches with him in the year that succeeded that. Then he had the underwhelming bout with Dean Ambrose at WrestleMania 32. So it was right around this point that they needed something fresh for Brock Lesnar. And you know what? Randy Orton was that guy. And I think this was a program that was long overdue. But the one thing was, is how were they going to go about building it? Because this announcement for this match kind of came out of left field. And it kind of took a lot of people by surprise, because it came right after the brand split when they both went to different shows. But when they finally got going to building this program towards the match at SummerSlam in 2016, it didn't take long to get the fans interested.
The announcement everybody's been waiting for. It's going to be Brock Lesnar going one-on-one with the Viper, Randy Orton, at SummerSlam.
2002, both superstars debuted. In the 14 years since, you have to be living under a rock not to know what they've accomplished. The first time they meet on pay-per-view is going to be at SummerSlam. We're going to finally see the Beast versus the Viper.
When I first met Brock in OVW, the developmental territory that we were in, he had just won the Division I NCAA Finals. He was a national champion. And he shows up big as a house. So everyone was like, what the hell is that?
What a physical specimen! Almost 300 pounds of rock hard muscle is Brock Lesnar!
The competition down there was something else. You know, Cena, Shelton, Batista. It was definitely the class of guys that I was with, guys like Brock, that motivated me to get to where I'm at today. When Lesnar and I became the closest, it was when we both got called up.
He just looks like a star. You just know you're in the presence of greatness. The animal in Lesnar has been unleashed.
We both went on to win titles.
The youngest world champion in history. F5 to The Rock. Brock Lesnar is champion.
So me and Lesnar were soaking up all that together. And then he decided to leave because he didn't like people. So that pissed me off. I'd say that became the moment where I realized, like, well, this Lesnar isn't the guy I thought he was.
Yeah, I know who Randy Orton is, but I don't have a relationship with Randy Orton, nor do I give a f*** about Randy Orton.
See, everybody thinks because you trained with Randy Orton in OVW that there's some storied history between you two, that he's on your level, that you broke in together.
There's irrelevance between Brock Lesnar and Randy Orton.
So let's just stop it right there. And they give the good backstory, right, between Brock and Randy Orton coming up through OVW with one another. And probably, like I said earlier in the show, the most notable class of OVW to ever come up. You know, when the lower tier guys are Batista and Shelton Benjamin, you know that you did pretty well for yourselves in developing a certain crop all at the same time. And the early parts of their careers, I mean, I know Randy Orton said that they were closest, they won early world championships, but I don't necessarily agree with that. And it's funny that Brock says that there's no similarities between them, because in a lot of ways there aren't. And just to give you an example of, you know, to try and back up that statement, is that Randy Orton only won his first world championship after Brock Lesnar left. Brock Lesnar left in March of 2004. Randy Orton won the world heavyweight title 5 months later in SummerSlam of 04 in August. So, you know, Brock Lesnar, within the first 6 months of him being in WWE, he had won King of the Ring, he had defeated Hulk Hogan, and he took out The Rock, winning the Undisputed Championship in August of 2002 at one of the best SummerSlams of all time. And then just 6 months later, he goes on to win the Royal Rumble and then headline WrestleMania 19 and defeat Kurt Angle for his second WWE Championship. And during this time, he had done all this in his first calendar month. He had won two WWE championships, defeating Kurt Angle, The Rock, and Hulk Hogan along the way, and had a Royal Rumble and King of the Ring victory under his belt. And Randy Orton, right by WrestleMania 19, he was sidelined with an injury. You know, they had just started the Evolution angle in January of 2003. And then not even 2 months later, he got injured and sidelined with Batista. And it really wasn't until late 2003 where he started gaining traction just to become, you know, Intercontinental Champion and an established mid-level heel. And, you know, one of the up-and-comers out of the Evolution stable. So I do kind of agree with Brock that, you know, Randy Orton is irrelevant compared to him. And the other thing is that even if you want to make the case that Randy Orton eventually got to Brock Lesnar's level and became the youngest world champion of all time, breaking Brock's record for that exact accolade, you know, Brock Lesnar left the WWE because he was, what, a 3- or 4-time world champion by the time he finally walked away in 04, had done all there was to do in terms of beating guys along the way. I even forgot to say they defeated The Undertaker in a Hell in a Cell match at No Mercy 2002 during his first run with the championship. I mean, Brock Lesnar accomplished so much before Randy Orton even won his first world title that he went on to conquer real MMA fighting. So, I mean, it was kind of, I get what they're trying to do, and they're trying to prop Randy Orton up to Brock Lesnar's level. And that's not to say that Randy Orton isn't one of the best of all time. I think that, you know, you can look back at their careers as a whole and say they are maybe on the same level for what they accomplished. But the fact of the matter is, early on in their careers, Brock Lesnar was just light years ahead of Randy Orton, and for that matter, ahead of everyone. Like, Kurt Angle had a very impressive first couple of, first calendar year in WWE or WWF at that time. But I mean, I really have a hard time thinking of someone who had as dominant of a first 12 months as Brock Lesnar did in the history of probably professional wrestling. Maybe Goldberg over on WCW when he had the undefeated streak. But nevertheless, they were doing a good job of getting people hyped for this match. And as we take a listen to the rest of this build-up, we really get the stage set for their clash at SummerSlam 2016.
I've accomplished far supersedes what Randy Orton could ever dream about.
You don't have a chance against Brock Lesnar. What you have a chance of, maybe, is survival.
I became a mega superstar, and he became a star.
You ain't gonna hit no RKO at SummerSlam.
I'm on another universe.
You'll never hit an RKO on the Beast. Randy Orton with an RKO out of nowhere.
I am as shocked. The Viper just laid out the Beast.
I did what I had to do to provoke him a little bit.
Did Randy Orton fire the first shot, or did he sign his death wish?
I wanted him to know that I'm the man. I'm the conqueror. I'm going to rip him apart at SummerSlam.
Randy Orton is just another guy, just like all the guys in the locker room. He's not the guy to beat Brock Lesnar. That ain't going to happen.
You know who Randy Orton is? He's the best surfer on the beach. He's the man. and he rides those waves like no other surfer, and then along comes the shark. When this shark digs his teeth into Randy Orton, the surfer is going down.
Where's Brock? Lesnar has Orton! F5 on the beast at Carnage!
I'd say Brock's probably underestimating me. I think it's gonna end up, you know, biting him in the ass. Just one RKO. You're going to Viperville.
People forget, I've been doing this since I was 5 years old. I'm like a robot. I train, I eat, and I opponents. That's what I do for a living.
August 21st at the Barclays Center, biggest SummerSlam match in history. What can you expect? I'm gonna kill the legend of Brock Lesnar.
Man, it was a really good build to this match, considering that it was kind of just created out of thin air. And I found that Brock's language that was bleeped out, so not easy to, I mean, fairly easy to connect the dots on what some of the words he was saying were. But I think Brock's not give a damn attitude really pushed the importance and hype for this match. And on an episode of Monday Night Raw leading into this match at SummerSlam 2016, we got to see Brock Lesnar address Randy Orton, or as usual, through his conduit, Paul Heyman. But Brock Lesnar got an unexpected surprise from SmackDown's Randy Orton.
If your voices are telling you that and you're not listening to them, Randy Orton, I beg of you, please, listen to my voice. Brock Lesnar is going to beat your ass at SummerSlam and drag you down to Suplex City. Now, Randy Orton, let's take a victory out of the equation, because you don't have a chance against Brock Lesnar. What you have a chance of, maybe, is survival. Survival. Maybe you don't go to the hospital. Maybe you are healthy enough to fight before the calendar year 2016 is over. And the only way you have that chance is the RKO. But Randy Orton, you ain't gonna hit no RKO at SummerSlam. You're not man enough to get Brock Lesnar in position for an RKO. You'll never hit an RKO on the beast.
Oh, oh my God! Oh my God! Randy Orton with an RKO out of nowhere!
I guess he's man enough.
I am in shock. The Viper just laid out the beast.
Man, what a great RKO by Randy Orton coming out of left field in a lot of ways. And man, oh man, that was a really exciting moment for the first time you ever really saw these guys get into contact. And I know probably early on in their careers when Randy Orton was not even half as relevant as he was now, maybe they had some matches on network television. But I mean, this was just, it had a big fight feel to it. And like I said, I'm a sucker for brand-on-brand attacks, especially when there are an exclusive properties involved, like Brock was to Raw and Randy was to SmackDown. So, I mean, it felt really, really cool when Randy Orton attacked Brock Lesnar from behind here and hit the RKO. But as some of you may remember, SmackDown was on Tuesdays. It had moved to Tuesdays to adopt the live format. So the very next night on SmackDown, Randy Orton got a surprise from the Beast Incarnate.
It's not even supposed to be the match.
Randy and Brock came up together in the old Danny Davis OVW.
The Nightmare of Danny Davis.
He was a nightmare if you knew him.
And Dangle's in a bad position.
Randy Orton has him set up for the draping DDT, planting Fandango's face
as another
in the canvas.
Unnamed play-by-play guy would say,
vintage Randy Orton.
Better keep him unnamed.
Randy Orton feeling the crowd here in Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh, good Lord.
Oh, my good Lord. He's here.
And I believe this was the first time Brock Lesnar had showed up on SmackDown upon his return to the company in 2012. I may very well be wrong on that, but just off the top of my head, I had not remembered seeing him on SmackDown between 2012 and 2016 up until this point. And this was, you know, not even a month into SmackDown being presented on equal footing with Raw again. So they really set the stage well for Randy Orton and Brock Lesnar heading into SummerSlam as they each got the one-up on one another. They each invaded the other's brand. And they even made the presentation cool. Like, Brock comes out of the crowd and there's security trying to stop him. And obviously they're useless. And as soon as Brock inches towards them, they, you know, part the seas and allow him to get in the ring and hit the F5 on Randy Orton. But when they have finally clashed at SummerSlam in 2016, a good match, it was one of the only times in, let's say, the last 15 years where I thought, like, oh man, are they going off script here? Because how the match ended, of Brock literally beating Randy Orton to a pulp and Randy Orton's head just, for lack of better terms, pissing blood out of it, was a visual that was almost teetering on uncomfortable. And the audio may not do it justice, but you can certainly feel the tension about how bad this beating was on Randy Orton at the hands of Brock Lesnar.
This Orton may be looking for that punt that he has ended careers with. And he runs into an F5.
Now, explosive response by Brock Lesnar.
Now, Lesnar taking off the gloves.
Brooklyn has spawned some of the best rappers in the game. And these two wanting to hit each other more than any diss track.
Oh, man.
And harder. Look at Lesnar, those clubbing forearms from the ground and pound position.
This is just bare bones trying to bust up your opponent.
Oh, look at this. Lesnar looking to open up Orton with those elbows. This is just pure malice.
Those slashing elbows, the clubbing forearms, the beast incarnate in a feeding frenzy.
You're seeing the animalistic tendencies of Brock Lesnar at its core.
Randy Orton might.
Randy, I think Brock has just knocked Randy out. Forearm to the head.
Randy Orton isn't moving.
Look at this.
Kyoto. Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Corey, you guys mentioned it. Those elbows, those slashing elbows.
You catch one of those elbows, it'll open you right up. That's just evidenced by Brock Lesnar.
Turning this into a horror movie here at SummerSlam.
Yeah, so the visual is really gory because Brock starts hammering him with these elbows, takes off his UFC gloves, starts belting him in the head, and then when he finally lets up and Mike Chioda allows for EMTs to get into the ring, obviously kayfabe in the end, but he was literally pouring blood out of his forehead and it looked like a real cut. It was a very gruesome image, and if I'm not mistaken, it actually caused a fight between Chris Jericho and Brock Lesnar backstage, because Brock had kind of gone into business for himself, and brutalized Randy Orton for real. And to be honest, if you watch the video and you see how badly beaten Randy Orton is and Brock's kind of reaction to it, I mean, you could kind of maybe draw the conclusion that in the moment, maybe Brock went rogue for a bit. But what happens after this, after the match is clearly over, Randy Orton cannot clearly compete, is pretty gruesome. And, well, not so much gruesome, but very good storytelling, as Brock is not done with his assault.
Legitimate badasses on the planet!
You gotta call this. I think for SmackDown's sake, you better hope the referees call this. You're not gonna have a superstar.
This is getting uncomfortable to watch.
Brock Lesnar mauling Randy Orton.
Much as I hate to agree with you, Corey, you're right.
Randy Orton in dire straits.
Orton has been assaulted.
And the assault continues.
The beast is not finished. When is enough enough?
Well, here's the scary part. Who's going to stop him?
Absolutely right. Start with the damn doctor calling the match off. How about that? There you go.
There you go, yeah.
To say it.
Lesnar!
So Raw's Brock Lesnar was riding his aggression, decimating Randy Orton at SummerSlam.
The winner by TKO, pure decimation, brutality, but that's why they call him the Beast Incarnate.
Beast Incarnate reported for duty.
Lesnar.
And guys, the referee did the absolute
and firing his hand to Brock Lesnar's not done. A brutal assault.
This, you got to be thinking about
Shane. Be careful.
Oh, yeah.
That's not smart, Shane.
He just wants to tend to his.
Randy is helpless.
I think everyone's helpless when Brock Lesnar's in the ring.
And there's the good storytelling as Shane McMahon comes to save Randy Orton, his performer over on SmackDown, and his commodity in a lot of ways, from a further beating of Lesnar after the match is called by the officials, and then Brock ensues on another beatdown on Randy Orton. And Shane McMahon comes out to stop, and then he eats an F5 for his troubles. And, you know, I really like Shane McMahon. I really find he's always played his part very well. And the way he sells these moves for a guy who is not a full-time competitor, I have to say, like, I know people complain about, like, his hokey punches and sometimes overselling, but for him to take moves like this from a guy like Brock Lesnar is a testament to how tough he is. And apparently this was originally supposed to lead towards a Brock versus Shane match somewhere down the line, but we never got anything more of it than this. And for that matter, we never got anything more of Brock versus Randy Orton either, as this really closed the book on Randy Orton versus Brock as their only ever meeting at a pay-per-view in any substantial type of rivalry or program. And I think all in all, this did a good job to sell Brock Lesnar as still one of the most dominant athletes and competitors in the WWE. And another cool thing about this is that it was coming off of his return and eventually his last match ever in UFC, where he faced off against Mark Hunt, I believe his name is, at a UFC event in July of 2016. So Brock had a ton of, wait for it, keyword momentum right around this time in not only WWE, but UFC. And WWE clearly was playing off of his recent fight in the MMA by going with this type of booking to end the match against Randy Orton, where he was seemingly going off the rails and going to business for himself. And like I said, it led to a real life confrontation with Chris Jericho, just for how real it looked. But I think all in all, we could have done with a lot more Brock Lesnar versus Randy Orton matches. And hey, there's still time. Brock's still kicking around. Randy Orton just arguably finished up the best run of his career. So maybe we have another installment of Brock versus Randy somewhere down the line. But anyway, guys, that's all I got for you tonight. I hope you enjoyed Randy Orton versus Brock Lesnar. As always, you can get me on Twitter at ADeMarco25. You can get Matt on Twitter at Wrestling_audio. Or you can email him at realwwepodcast@gmail.com. Anyway, guys, stay safe out there, and I'll talk to you next week.